hearing a lot about narrative and storytelling approaches in coaching and counseling and advising. And a lot of people are talking about narrative approaches, but in my experience, not that many people have a way to talk about how it works. So how does it work, actually, is a question I hear lots of coaches, advisors, counselors, and staff working in post-secondary institutions and co-op programs, and they're asking these kinds of questions. How does the narrative approach work? And there are a lot of changes happening in career services away from assessments that try and match clients with jobs and job titles and towards more holistic approaches and modalities that embody narrative approaches. So we all want to empower our clients and understand what they like and what they don't like and help them name their strengths and identify the influences of other people so that they can make good choices moving forward. But until now, there weren't any comprehensive frameworks that really helping professionals consistently so that their clients can distill what matters from what happened. And we've developed that now. So we've trained over 100 people, licensees we call them, counselors, coaches, advisors, psychotherapists, mental health workers, post-secondary student services staff to use this holistic and narrative method of practice. So we've done training across the country with McGill University, people from the University of Toronto, Simon Fraser University, Kwantlen University, Humber College, St. Mary's University, and then many other staff in employment centers and other career centers, social service agencies, independent coaches, counselors, psychotherapists, and so on. So about 100 people now have been trained in this approach with the graphical framework that I gave you in that handout that guides the overall method. The method of practice includes 40 interventions. And I'll talk a little bit more about what I mean by that later in the call. But a selection of those are used with any given client. So really, this approach relies on your professional judgment. It's not a cookie-cutter approach. It's not for training new counselors. Rather, people who are already seeing clients and who have experience, this is a new approach or a new tool, and it relies on your professional judgment. If people are using other tools like assessments or like the Myers-Briggs type indicator or other interest inventories, we have integrated our approach with those tools. So it's not an either-or. It's really a both-and. The approach has now been published in a peer-reviewed Journal of Employment Counseling, and it came out in December. And if people are interested, I can send them the article. It will also form a chapter in the new upcoming textbook, a Canadian career textbook that's coming up. And I've presented personally at a number of conferences across the country, including the Kinexus annual career conference. So personally, I'm excited to be able to share this this training, and it will be the eighth time that I've done the training coming up in November, and excited to share a little bit more about it and introduce it to you today. I want to make today's brief session relevant and useful in its own right so that you get something out of it, and as interactive as we can be on a call like this, and also make it easier for you to decide if you do want to attend the training in November. So can I ask up front here, does anybody have questions that they'd like to throw out or experiences around using narrative that they'd like to share at this time before we move on? And I'll give a few seconds for people to respond. Okay, so I'm just going to move on. I know those. I tried to give the five-second rule, so that was about 5 seconds. And I'll do that throughout the call. And if there are questions or comments, please feel free to add what you'd like to say. And I'll wait the 5 seconds so it won't be too uncomfortable or awkward, and then we'll move on.
Mark?
Yep, question.
Hi, this is Joan down in Houston. I think we've got some people who haven't muted their phone, so we're getting some background noise.
Okay, does anybody else have that? I've left it unmuted so that people can ask questions. If you're on a cell phone or if there's somewhere where there's ambient sound, can I ask you to mute the call? And you can do that by simply pressing star six, and then *7 unmutes it, and you can come back on. And let's try that for the next couple of minutes. And if there still is noise on the line, can somebody let me know, and I'll mute everybody until there are moments of questions. Okay. So let's proceed, and I'll check in again in a couple of minutes about that. So let me move on to agenda item number 2. How does this work? How can you listen to your clients' stories with greater understanding so that they can arrive at a new level of awareness? And before I talk about how the method came to be, I think it's worthwhile just spending some time talking about what this is. Some of you may have heard this. If you've ever joined me in one of the conference talks I've given or have looked through the website, you would have seen it. But I'll start, you know, with an overview and more from the beginning perspective. And if people got that PDF that I sent out yesterday, now would be the time to open to that very first page. It's a graphic called Becoming Empowered in Your Career and Life Choices. And if you have it, great. And if you don't have it, don't worry, we can talk through it as well. And that graphic does appear on our website as well, and you can check it there if you didn't get the email. And that's right from the main page if you click on Our Story and Model. So if you have in front of you, it's a graphic that's been really helpful, both for career professionals or helping professionals and clients themselves to locate themselves in a process. So we like to call this becoming empowered with a sense of empowerment or autonomy that clients have. And I like to use the term career and life choices together because I think most people are looking at career and life in the larger context. And the first element there is the central dot, the present moment situated on a timeline with your story in blue to the left and your future in orange on the right. And the central dot is the present moment, and clients come at us with these kinds of questions. What am I going to do now? How do I decide what I should do when I'm graduating from this post-secondary institution, or how should I decide what to do because I've been let go from my job or even employed? What now and how do I get there? And on the other side of the question is a choice, and wouldn't it be great if our clients were confident and excited moving forward into their future? And the future here is depicted as cycles of stability and change. And that's everybody's future, and I like to have that in the picture so that people see that. And to get from a question to a choice, this model suggests a really simple two-process approach, a stepping back into career and life clarification, followed by a stepping forward into an intentional exploration. And if I could just start in the intentional exploration, many clients come at us with some kind of exploration already underway. They've been thinking about things, they've been applying to jobs, they've been contemplating options, they've been talking to their family and friends or their professors or their counselors, and people are in many kinds of less than intentional explorations. Sometimes I hear terms like, I feel like I'm all over the map, or it's random and I just don't know what to do. And the idea of having an intentional exploration is quite different. It's the sense that you know what you want overall, not like specific job titles necessarily, but overall you know what you want in your career and life and you expect to get it. And we've had thousands of clients go through very intentional and even engaging fun explorations, career explorations, so that they feel good going through it. And that's a real trick. Because I've made every mistake you could possibly make with all the clients I've seen to see what works and what doesn't work and how to get people to an intentional exploration. I've made a real study of that, and what I've discovered is it's the stepping back process that truly makes the exploration intentional. So into the career and life clarification process, how can you step back and talk to your client about what they've done so that you can make sense of it for them and with them? And that's where the narrative approach comes in. It's using client story, empowering them to tell us their story, while interactively we elicit seven elements from their story. So that career and life clarification process is something that happens interactively, client and professional, often using a working tool that I'm going to show you in a moment called the career sketch, that is the place to gather and organize what comes out of the story. The seven elements that come out of people's stories as they tell them are their desires, what they want for their career and life, their strengths, what they're good at and they love to use, their personal qualities like sociable or logical or rational, things that you would be familiar with if you've ever done any of those personality tools like MBTI or True Colors or Kierzy, assets like degrees or diplomas or demonstrated interests. The influences of other people is number five, and we all know that other people largely influence our career and life choices, and yet it's one of those things that isn't explicitly looked at as much. Number six are the possibilities that the client is initially curious about and get them elicited, and number seven is their thoughts and feelings in the blue circle around that career and life clarification process and helping them become aware of it. So it's an amazing process to elicit stories using questions about people's lives, because people are very good at telling us their stories. But what do you do as the story tumbles out? How do you gather and organize what matters from what happened so that you can generate and prioritize possibilities and build a career sketch right in front of clients' eyes? And so if you flip to the second page of the handout, if you have it there, and I can describe it for those who don't, is a career sketch. And so this is something that we've developed to gather and organize interactively the pieces of the puzzle that come out. So we don't ask directly for desires or strengths and so on. Rather, what we do is we listen to the story as it comes out and interactively use a Word document if people are comfortable, if the career professional is comfortable using the tool on a computer, great. And if not, we use a printed form, and you can do it interactively with the client sitting right beside you, so that they can see how these components build up throughout their story. The colors that you see are different sessions. So we meet with a client over 3 or 4 sessions, and each session new stuff comes out as the story is being told. So black was the first session, red was the second session. So for instance, if you look at desires, what you want and what's important. First session client comes in, you know, she's stressed out, working way too hard in an advertising job. She's now just had a child and wants to change her life. So she's complaining of a totally unreasonable workload. So we try and create in the positive as much as possible language that describes what they want. I want a reasonable workload. I want time for family, more time than now. Then walking back in her story, starting at the beginning, she tells a story about Mrs. Kennedy, who was her kindergarten teacher, you know, somebody who was highly influential in her life. And what do we learn about that experience was that the client wants to nurture and support other people just the way Mrs. Kennedy did. And as you develop these desires and strengths and as they come out of the story, people are really connected to them. They're in the client's own language rather than assessments. Many of you on the call, I'm sure, have used assessments before. And you know what it's like. There's all this funny language that comes out of assessments that the client needs to adapt to. You know, like they're an INFP or they're blue with a little gold or whatever it is. And clients often forget what that means. And in contrast, if you use their language that comes out of their story, they become much more connected to it. Our job is really to help them extract that and name it. And we're good at that. We can say that that story sounds like you used some really strong organizing or coordinating skills. And the client can say if we're right or wrong, and then we can get their words into this working document. So you can see the pieces there in the desire, strengths, personal qualities, assets, other people that influence us, and then finally the possibilities you're curious about, and these are generated interactively with the client as they emerge from the story, sometimes generated from the individual and sometimes generated by us, but these are initial possibilities in a brainstorming mode where we're trying to expand the possibilities. And at the bottom of the career sketch, you see a place for thoughts and feelings that change, and we know that thoughts and feelings change over the time that we see our clients. So you can see the evolution of this client's feelings from feeling burnt out and just, you know, not knowing what to do next to knowing herself better and feeling like she could do something different. That career sketch then becomes the basis for a client-generated career statement. And that's the next page in the handout number 3. And we've now had thousands of people write these career statements. People find them very empowering. They're kind of like the anti-resume. People have resumes, and resumes are, you know, we've all had our experiences with them. This is a more present and future-oriented document than a resume, which tends to be very much backwards, looking in the rearview mirror. So clients will distill from their career sketch this high-level career statement, the most important components. And we've now had thousands of people write these either bullet points like this or in a more narrative block that really succinctly describes who they are and what matters to them. And clients really like this, and they can say it to themselves. It's just in regular language. Here's what I want in my life. You know, I want to have stability and more time for my family. I want to use my teaching, coaching, mentoring, and managing strengths, and so on. So this output from the process has been a really positive piece that many clients now have used and are out there with, and we've had people say to us things like, it was so much easier for me to do my exploration once I had my career statement because it became a bit of a compass, something to reflect back on. We then empower clients to live their career statement. And back to the model for a moment, if you go back to page one of the handout, the intentional exploration program or process becomes so much more effective when people have a career statement that they use to start off with. And here's where some of the happenstance approaches that many have been hearing about come in. I'm asking people to, for each one of their priority possibilities, watch for clues that relate to their possibility, to take inspired action that relates to the clues that they've seen, and to be open to all the opportunities that come up that may not have been what they thought of. And all the while helping clients be intentional with their own thoughts and feelings while they go through sometimes a real emotional roller coaster of an exploration process. Out of that exploration is where clients make their choices. And so the choice falls out of this intentional exploration that people feel good about, that they've done. It's not like we're going to look at a list of 20 careers that came out of an assessment and choose one, which is simply not the way the world works. Rather, we're going to explore the priority possibilities, empower people to explore them in really effective and inspired ways so that when they make a choice, they feel confident and excited about it moving forward into the future. So that's a real whirlwind of the process and how it works. Let me stop for a second and ask for comments or questions or experiences that anybody would like to share about that. Okay, and how's the sound now? There's somebody who said about the sound. Is it sounding better now? Is there any background noise that's difficult?
Seems fine.
Yeah, great. Okay. So I'm going to leave it unmuted for people to jump in with comments or questions. So let me move to agenda item number 3, which is how this method of practice came to be and what are the influences behind it. So in part and parcel with that is the question of what is a method of practice anyways, like that term, method of practice, where did it come from? So that actually is a term that's embedded in the Canadian Standards and Guidelines for Career Development Practitioners. That's a document that's been around since 2004. It recently was revised in 2011. And in that is one of the standards in it is S3.2, and I can give people links to it to see exactly what it is. But it says demonstrate a method of practice in interactions with clients. And to demonstrate this competency, the document goes on to say that one should synthesize theories and models to establish a personally held model or theory. And there's more information about that, but the term method of practice comes from those Canadian standards and guidelines. Canada is actually a world leader in career development ideas, sharing them across the world. And this is one of the really good things to come out of what's happened in the career world in Canada. And so the notion of a method of practice, naming it that, for me, came out of that process. So for me, this was a result both of personal and professional experience. My own undergrad experience was in industrial engineering, followed by work experiences in industry and decision support and management consulting. So I developed a really strong sense of a systems approach to things, and that's what I brought with me when I did a master's degree in counseling psychology and then started working in career services both at U of T in the career center there and at York University and in my own practice career cycles, and saw thousands of clients and went to conferences and workshops like many of you. I became certified in MBTI. I used True Colors. I designed and led many workshops in conjunction with some super people who I've been working with over the years, both at U of T and York and at Career Cycles. I've led career renewal retreats, and honestly, I've tried everything and discovered what works and what doesn't work, and what I liked and what bored me. And it was an interesting process to use all these tools and assessments I've used many of the assessments that some of you might have been using, the MBTI, the Jackson Vocational Interest Survey, the Strong Interest Inventory. More recently, there's some newer personality tools like Personality Dimensions and the Lumina Spark. So I've used a lot of these things, and I've seen what people like and don't like about them and what I myself liked and didn't like. And slowly, I developed a narrative approach incorporating much of what I've learned and read. And what I found myself doing with clients was using a flip chart page in my offices, both at U of T where I was doing this and at Career Cycles. And I found myself drawing the same pictures and frameworks over and over and over again. And maybe you found yourself doing the same thing. And after a time, I developed something that seemed to be comprehensive, and it worked. I knew it worked for clients, and it started to really feel like I was in the groove with clients, and I started to have much better results with clients who were really having great experiences. But then I thought, do I have a method of practice that's just my thing, or is it something that I can actually share with others? And when I went to work at York University in Toronto, they were just starting a career services, at least a career counseling service within their career center. I met an amazing counselor there, Leanne Sachs, and she hadn't done a lot of career counseling. She'd done a lot of personal counseling, and I said, well, Leanne, let's try it this way. And after a time, we found that it worked for both of us. Everybody brings their own unique perspective, but I found that this as a method of practice worked for her and one other counselor that worked there, and then I started to know that this is something that I can actually talk to others about and share. And when that started to happen, my own practice, Career Cycle, started to grow. I got busier than I could handle with private clients and individual clients and started to train associates. So now there are 8 associates. I've trained a few more because other people have moved on to other things, but there are 8 associates now using a consistent method of practice, the one that I've just given you an overview of, where people are bringing their own expertise, their own background, their own strengths, but using a framework that is consistent and that you can talk to clients about. You can talk to them before they start and say, here's what's going to happen, and you can locate them like being on a map using that graphic as we go through the process. So it's been interesting to see how that's developed and worked and how other people have picked it up. The method of practice itself includes the framework, this overall component that I've shown you with the graphic. And then it includes a learning program. So the learning program is a kind of table of contents of the 40-plus interventions. And when I say intervention, each intervention is a component of the method of practice. I've written it up so that it exists in a binder or a manual, and that's something that we go through in the training. And imagine each one of those things. You know, I know everybody on this call has been doing things with their clients. Imagine taking each one of those little things that you do with a client and writing it up so that you have a few sections. Number one, what is the name of this intervention and when would you use it, right? When would you use it in the process? Number two, what's the expected outcome of this intervention, this thing that you're going to do? Number three, what do you do to make it happen? What do you say? How do you handle questions and comments to actually make this thing happen? And then number four, what are the resources or tools that you need, the working documents or whatever, to bring that to life? So I think we're at 43 or 44 interventions now. I've written them all up so that helping professionals can look at them and use that as a basis for understanding the intervention. So, for instance, your story is one of the main interventions of the method of practice. You'd use that near the beginning of a client engagement. The expected outcome is that the client gets to share their story and feels empowered from their story, and they see that their story has turned into something that they can use, like a career sketch and a career statement. And then the career professional actions for that intervention would describe all the questions that are used to drive that forward. And it's not cookie cutter again. Everybody has their own way of eliciting a story, but it's guidelines on how to run that intervention. And then the resources that you would need, the career sketch and the other tools. Each one of the interventions has relevant handouts for the client. So the framework or the method of practice also includes handouts, and those are to be used for based on your judgment when you would use them for between session tasks to keep the process momentum moving forward. So those are the components of the method of practice. And there are many influences that I've used to bring in here, and I'm going to name them. And as you hear what they are, maybe these have informed some of your approaches as well. So please ask questions after I name these dozen influences. So number one, first and foremost, is narrative methods. There's a lot being written about narrative methods. If you look in the narrative therapy literature, Michael White is sort of a real key person in the narrative therapy. And then Larry Cochran and Pamelia Brott have really brought the narrative methods into the career world. And so we're drawing on some of those. Number two is the positive psychology material that is just out there now. I bet you many people on the call are familiar with it or are using it, popularized by Martin Seligman, and then really amazing people like Sonia Lubomirsky, Barbara Fredrickson, and Ed Diener, who are using these, especially the strength-based approaches that I think fit so nicely into career work. Number three is flow, and the findings from Csikszentmihalyi about what takes us into that moment of intense absorption with the present moment. It looks like the positive psychology people have really embraced the flow material. A great book written in 1991 and great material talking again about client strengths. Number four is chaos theory and careers. There's some amazing stuff being written by Jim Bright from Australia and Deborah Block from the University of San Francisco on chaos theory and careers in this crazy world that we live in that informs it. Constructivist ideas from Vance Peavy and many others who have been looking at constructivist approaches to career services. There are many cognitive interventions here, especially for that component of the model that I described as becoming intentional with your thoughts and feelings. And so we are drawing on some of the cognitive therapy material that's out there that talks about errors in thinking developed by Aaron Beck to teach clients how to avoid those errors in thinking. Number seven is the happenstance approach, popularized by John Crumbolt, Al Levin, and Kathleen Mitchell in their 1999 article. And, you know, there's just been tons written about that. And that intentional exploration process really incorporates much of that happenstance approach. Number eight is Adlerian approaches. We use in some of our narrative, especially for early years, we use some early recollections interventions, popularized by Alfred Adler, that sometimes are appropriate to use with clients, sometimes not. Number nine is a coaching model, right? There's a counseling component of this process, and there's a coaching component. And a lot of people are talking about coaching. We all know how wildly popular coaching is out there. I've liked the coactive coaching model described by Laura Whitworth and others to help clients move ahead, but it's not exclusively coaching. What we're talking about here, I think it draws on counseling and counseling modalities, and it's not purely a coaching model. Number 10 is law of attraction processes. Many clients are talking to us about these. It's a very popular thing that people talk about, and I think it ties in very closely with the positive psychology material. It's just a more popular way of talking about positive psychology. Number 11 is the Canadian Standards and Guidelines for Career Development Practitioners that I mentioned before, and we are in alignment with that. In fact, I was on the committee to revitalize the Canadian Standards and Guidelines last year. And number 12, ultimately below all of this, we are doing counseling work. We are doing helping work. And so it's drawing on client-centered counseling from Carl Rogers, focusing on empathy, genuineness, and unconditional positive regard. And so those are the 12 that I like to name, and I presented this. And I know people have questions about that and how does that fit or what do you mean by this. So let me stop for a moment again and ask any comments or questions or experiences that you'd like to share at this point. Okay, so let me continue on. And again, if there are comments or questions, please break in and let me know. I'd like to give a little overview of the training that's coming up that fits with the method of practice that I've described. So, you know, we can talk about client outcomes with this, but how does it work when you're trying to actually make this happen as a helping professional, whether you're a career professional or whether you're another helping professional or an independent coach or working in post-secondary? I've now had the great good fortune to train a lot of people and hear the questions that come up about what this method is like to learn. And like anything, it's learning a new skill. And so this isn't just theory, it's practice. And, you know, people have been using their approaches for a long time. And you know what works and you know what doesn't work, and it can be a little disorienting to learn something new. So therefore, the training is really a mix of sharing ideas and then giving time to practice and feedback and learn from even demonstrations. I've now learned how to do demonstrations. I don't know if anybody on the call has ever seen. People do demonstrations, and you know, sometimes I hear people talk about Mark Savickas, who has done a lot to move narrative career work forward. And he does demonstrations in front of huge groups of people, and I always found that kind of unbelievable that he did that. And now I've done a little bit of demonstrating in front of smaller groups of trainees and realize it's a little crazy making to do, but it actually is very effective, and people have said that as part of the training has been very, very helpful. So the training is divided in two parts. And the first part is 2 days, and that's the core processes. There's about 20 core processes that get people started. And I find that is a good number of days for people to start on a training process like this. I'm just going to, you know, and I'm just hearing some sounds in the background, so I'm just going to try muting on my end, and then I'll come back and unmute. Okay, I'm going to proceed. The mute function wasn't working right there. The first 2 days of the training, there's a number of pieces of this puzzle, and so day one is more or less the career and life clarification process. Day two is the intentional exploration process, and I have learned that 2 days gives people enough to get started with. And so I've designed it in 2 days. You know what it's like with training. Sometimes you have a one-day training, and if you really hate it, you're happy it's only 1 day, and, you know, you've only dedicated 1 day to it. But if you really love it, you feel like, you know, you just got into it, and you want more, but you only had 1 day. So I'd like to suggest this is something that people would love, and therefore the second day really takes us deeper into it. But recognizing in the real world, it's hard to get away for more than 2 days at a time. So the 2 days has resulted of my experience with training and trying different models. And the process there gets us started. So it's the basics of both the career and life clarification process and the intentional exploration process, how to use the working tools, how to use that career sketch in concert with people's stories, and then how to align clients' plans and their mindsets with this approach. So you actually get skills in utilizing those tools. So there's the idea of it, but then there's the practice. We break up in pairs, so there's a lot of paired exercises and demonstrations to give people a chance to actually try it and go through the process of learning it with somebody else where it's in a safe environment to try that out. So we provide the manual that has all those core interventions so that you have it to read through and look at, and then practice, experience, demonstration, so that you have a chance to see it in action and try it out yourself. And that is really the way skills are built. And, you know, there's a confidence-building component of this where if you're going to try it with your real clients, you want to feel like you've actually done a little bit of it so that you feel like you've got it. So those 2 days tend to be full days, very engaging. It's going to be November 7th and 8th, 9:30 to 4:30 here in Toronto at our office. At the end of it, you'll have the guidebook with the core interventions, the client handout set, so that you can use them with your clients. There's about 20 of them. I call people who do the training a licensee, so it's a license to use all of that material. We provide a certificate of completion in the career cycles method of practice. And what I've also learned is that in addition to the two-day training, what really helps is to give people a chance to try it out over a few weeks and then have a follow-up call. So we can have a 75-minute follow-up teleconference using technology like this or Skype or in person if you're in Toronto, and continue on the learning, debrief your practice if you've tried it with clients. People often say, well, here's what I tried, here's what worked, here's what didn't work, and get questions and answers and learn from each other. So people have liked that. I think many of the certifications or professional associations that you belong to would treat this as appropriate professional development and continuing education credits. So if that's something that matters to you with any of your certifications, we have found that people have been able to use this for those continuing education credits. I know I did a training recently in Toronto through Leading Edge Seminars. Maybe some of you know that, a really great little organization. And they have a policy on the continuing ed credits and have made some connections with certain organizations. So if you have questions about that, I can let you know who I've spoken to see if it would qualify. Generally, you get one credit per hour. So that then the training would be about 14 or 15 hours or credits. So that's part one. And you know, now I've done this a number of times, the feedback has really helped me to fine-tune this in such a way that I feel really confident in being able to convey it. People have found it very engaging and have walked away ready to use that material with their clients. What I've also found is that some people want to go further, and they want to take it to the next level and get more confident. And this is what we've done with our associates. We've had further training that I've now called Part 2. So Part 1 stands alone. You don't need to take Part 2 to do one, but certainly you would need to have done Part 1 to go into Part 2. I've called it Build Skills and Confidence. And we've also introduced a designation called Holistic Narrative Career Professional, HNCP. And the idea there is to make it a more comprehensive learning so that people can then take this deeper and add the rest of the intervention. So when I said earlier there were about 43 interventions, only 20 are part of the first part. Because what I found is I was trying to do too much in too short a time and it became overwhelming. So let us have the first part that gets you up to speed. The second part of the training and the Build Skills and Confidence adds the rest of the interventions, including things like the early recollections and heroes and dragons, and if you already use things like the MBTI, how to integrate that into the processes. So it includes more interventions, and then it also includes ways to make this flow more seamlessly into your practice. So the two additional things that we set up there are practice sessions with participants so that you establish a relationship and then you can go through the whole process with your practice partner. I've also had consent from a number of clients for videotaping sessions. So I've now videotaped a number of clients through the process, and I'm making those DVDs available to trainees in the Part 2 so that when you have that DVD, you can watch the process in action. You know, and here's intervention number 13, and here's intervention number 17, and you can see how it all kind of flows together. And then together with the DVDs and the practice, we have follow-up, five follow-up meetings, so five follow-up 75-minute meetings to debrief the practice and the observations. That has really clinched it for many people, and they felt really confident and were able to move forward with it, and that's what we've done with our associates. So it's a two-day training, and I've added those 2 days right after the first 2 days. So part one is November 8 and 9. That's a Monday, Tuesday. And then part two is the next 2 days, Wednesday, November 9th, and Thursday, November 10th. So if people are coming from out of town, it all gets done in one go. And if you're in Toronto, then you have the Friday to do whatever else you want to do in the city here. So it does make sense if you want to put the two back-to-back, and that way you have that deeper experience. The Holistic Narrative Career Professional, or HNCP, is something that about 12 people have earned now, and also, again, relevant for continuing education credits with various certifying bodies. And I know in Canada we have now three provinces, Alberta, BC, and Quebec, that actually have a career certification. It's coming to Ontario and Nova Scotia. So I think this would be relevant, although those two provinces haven't got their stuff together yet to say whether it will or won't, but probably would. So that's the second part of the process. If there's anybody on the call who already did part one and wants to come to part two, I'm also making part one available for free. Come along for part one just to refresh if you'd like for the Monday and Tuesday. So those are the two parts of the training, and that second part providing that further depth so that there's the follow-on with the five follow-up meetings after that initial part of the process. So let me stop for a moment and ask for comments, questions about anything so far, and specifically about the training process.
For part one.
Yeah.
We did the game when we did the 2-day training with you.
Yes.
Angela and Christine from Humber.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so is that part one then?
Yeah, so that was part one. So that experience that we had at Humber was part one. You're referring to the Who You Are Matters game. There is a game that, the intention in the creation of the game is really to help groups access the same thing that I'm training other professionals to do one-on-one. So the support, the training is really geared to the one-on-one experience. But the game really supports groups, and it's a great tool. We've used it in post-secondary institutions, in corporate groups, in social service settings, where people have utilized the game to reach a draft career sketch and a career statement. So the career sketch and career statement are outcomes of that Who You Are Matters game. I incorporated it in some of the training where people have wanted to buy that and introduce it into their workplace. So certainly I would introduce it and suggest that it's something for people to look at, but because not everybody is going to buy it or use it, I won't make it a formal part, but I'll certainly introduce it and say, here's a great group method to get people to the career sketch and the career statement, and that dovetails nicely with the method of practice, and in a couple of post-secondary institutions where that game is used, clients can then go through the game experience, and then when they see the counselor or the advisor, that counselor and advisor is on the same page. You know, they understand what the participant has gone through, and it fits together. So does that answer your question about the part one and the game?
I think so. So just to summarize, we qualify to move on to part two then?
Yeah, so anybody on the call, like the folks at Humber where we did the 2-day training, would make sense to do part two to take that deeper. And if you want to take part two but you want a refresher on part one, feel free to come to the first 2 days for free. Just, you know, pay for the handout, and then you can have that refresher. So if you've done part one, great, feel free to come. And otherwise, that would be great for part two to come for that training on the Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay, thank you.
So thanks for that question. Any other comments, questions, or experiences?
Mark, you ran down a lovely bibliography when you were talking about the foundations of the work. Is there any possibility that you could share that with us when you send out some information?
So, yeah, thanks for that question. That's actually, it's funny about that. I talk a lot about when I'm doing a training and I refer to other resources, not just the ones I mentioned in that list. There is a reading list that is part of the framework that includes many of the documents that I referred to. So that reading list is actually part of the method of practice. And so when I put the binder out there, I certainly provide it. And if people on the call are interested, I can send that off to you as well. If you want to just shoot me an email afterwards, I'll take that page out of it and I'll send you a copy. There's so many amazing resources, and every time I speak to groups, I learn more and more of them. But there's some foundational things that I think are really useful to be looking at. Sometimes they're articles, you know, in journal articles, and sometimes they're books that are more popularly read. So if you are interested in that, send me an email, and I'll send you that list. Great. Thanks for that question. Other questions, comments, or personal experiences with narrative approaches? So I'll let me just say as next steps here, and this is kind of the wrap-up, I wanted to save about 10 minutes for Q&A, and if there are more questions, I'll give you a moment again to follow up. If you have any questions about what we've talked about and you want to talk one-on-one, feel free to give us a call here at the office. It's 416-465-9222, and that info is on our website. In terms of signing up, there, you know, we tried to do the early bird thing and get that to make sense in the context of this intro call. So today's October the 6th. We had the early bird open until the end of day, Monday, October the 10th. So there was a $20 savings for the early bird. It was regular $400 for part one, and it was $380 for the early bird. So, you know, feel free to ask any questions up to that time. It would be great to hear people's interest in that. If there are two or more people from your organization, there's an additional $20 off per person. That whole, all this info is on the training page on the Career Cycles website. There's a sort of overview of the training, and then there's a registration form, and it's all in there. Likewise, part two has a $20 savings for the early bird date, and again for two or more registrations. So there's a PDF there that you could fill out, or you could send us by email, or you can mail it or fax it, and there's a fax number on it as well. And just let us know how many people from your organization, and it all kind of is fill it out, and there's ways to pay either through check, credit card. We also have a PayPal account, so it can be paid online. So the registration form is there online, and if you can't find it or if you need me to send that off to you, do let me know. And, you know, just to say thanks for everybody for joining us here on the call. If you do want to sign up by the early bird, we'll add an additional $20 off for people who are on the call. So then that would be $360 per person, or $340 if you have two or more. And so I've got the list of registrations for the call, and if you want to let us know by end of day Monday, that would be great. That's actually Thanksgiving Day here in Canada. So if, you know, today is Wednesday, so I guess thinking it through, if you need to speak to people at your organization to get support or approvals, it would be great to do that this week. So, and again, any comments, questions, or personal experiences about, especially about using narrative approaches? Has anybody on the call here been using any narrative approaches that you could share, or at least say a little bit about what you've discovered? Okay, so I'm going to hold it there. So it's about five to one, and I'll say thanks everybody for joining us here on the call. I really appreciate you taking some time to listen up. I know a teleseminar has a certain quality to it, and so it's been some talking and maybe not as much interaction. But let me assure you, the training is going to be full of interaction, and doing it face to face lends itself to that kind of process. So I invite you to ask any make any comments or ask any questions. Give us a call, send us an email, and I look forward to hearing back from you and hope you can make it on November 7th and 8th. So thanks, everybody, for being on the call, and I'll look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Bye for now.